Hey everyone, welcome back to Unzip, the show where we crack open the latest AI and ML research papers and pull out what actually matters. Big thanks to our sponsors keeping the lights on, Ada, which bridges the gap between research and production AI, and honestly, that gap is real. Ago Consulting, pronounced Ah Go, your go-to for silicon development consulting from AI all the way down to SOEC design, and Zen Semiconductor, an umbrella company with a whole portfolio of silicon industry companies, plus Ada for deploying AI at scale in any business, turning research models into production inference with their Glow compiler. Today, we're unpacking five papers covering transformer architecture improvements, benchmark integrity, agentic visual reasoning, language model training, and video world models. Let's get into it. All right, paper one, and this one's a bit of a deep dive into transformer internals. The paper is called Multi-Head Attention Residuals from Cheng Luo, Zefan Kai, and Junji Hu, spotted on Hugging Face Daily. So if you've worked with transformers at all, you know the residual stream. It's that additive pathway where every layer just reads the most recent hidden state and adds its own contribution on top. It's elegant, it's simple, and it's been the backbone of basically every transformer model since the original paper. Now, there's been some prior work on attention residuals, which relax this by letting sublayers attend over the full depth history. So instead of just reading the last layer's output, you can look back at earlier layers too, using a learned softmax distribution. Think of it like giving the model a memory of its own processing history rather than just its most recent state. But here's the catch the authors identify, and it's subtle but important. Those existing attention residuals use a single query shared across the entire width of the model. Width here means all the feature dimensions, all the different subspaces the model uses to represent information. And the problem is, different feature subspaces might want to pull from very different layers in the depth history. So forcing them all to share one depth reading distribution is a compromise. A forced compromise, as the authors put it. And the cost of that compromise scales with how much those subspaces disagree about which layers they want to read from. The more they disagree, the worse that single query bottleneck hurts you. The fix is pretty intuitive once you hear it. Go multi-head. Instead of one shared query reading the depth history, you give each head its own query, so different parts of the model can independently decide which layers to attend back to. It's essentially applying the multi-head attention philosophy, which we already use across the sequence dimension, now also across the depth dimension. This is the kind of architectural insight that's easy to implement but has real theoretical grounding. For practitioners building or fine-tuning large transformers, this suggests that your residual connections might be a hidden bottleneck, especially in deep models where layers tend to specialize. Worth watching for ablations and empirical results as this work gets more attention. Paper 2 is a very different flavor. It's about benchmark quality rather than model architecture. The paper is PAI Checker, Uncovering and Checking PRASov Misalignment in SWE Bench-like Benchmarks, from Meni Wang, Junjilong Xu, and Pinjia He from Archive. SWE Bench, if you haven't come across it, is a benchmark for evaluating how well LMs can resolve real GitHub issues. It's become kind of the gold standard for coding agents. The construction pipeline for these benchmarks is actually pretty clever in concept. You take a real pull request from a big open source repo, find the GitHub issue it references, use the issue description as the problem statement, and use the PR's patch as the ground truth solution. It's a great way to get naturally occurring, real-world software engineering tasks without having to write them by hand. The problem the authors surface is what they call PRISO misalignment. Because software development is messy, a single PR might touch multiple issues. An issue might be partially addressed, or a PR might be linked to an issue for reasons totally unrelated to the actual fix. So the ground truth pairing between problem statement and solution patch can be subtly or even dramatically wrong. PAI Checker is their automated tool to detect these misalignments. The core idea is to analyze the semantic relationship between the issue description and the actual code changes in the PR patch, flagging cases where the two don't really correspond to each other. Why does this matter? Because if your benchmark has misaligned pairs, you're evaluating models on problems where the correct answer isn't actually correct. That corrupts your signal. You might think a model is failing when it's actually producing a reasonable solution to a different legitimate interpretation of the issue. For anyone who's been watching the coding agent space and it's been moving incredibly fast, this is a really important sanity check. Leaderboard rankings on SWA Bench have been driving a ton of research decisions. If the benchmark itself has integrity issues, those decisions might be built on shaky ground. The authors find meaningful rates of misalignment in existing benchmarks, which is honestly a bit of a wake-up call for the community. Practically speaking, if you're building or evaluating coding agents and relying on SWE bench-style data, PAI Checker gives you a way to audit your evaluation set before you trust the numbers. That's a tool worth knowing about. Paper 3, Beacon, Knowing When and How to Perform Agentic Visual Reasoning, from Chixin Wang, Yang Shi, Li Xincheng, and others, on Archive. This one is about multimodal LLMs, models that handle both images and text, and specifically about making them smarter about using tools. The setup, you've got these big multimodal models, and you can give them tools, things like image search, object detectors, calculators, whatever. The idea is that tools help them solve hard visual reasoning tasks, but the authors make a really sharp observation. Just giving a model tools doesn't mean it'll use them well. In fact, a model might use tools on every single input even when it doesn't need to, which wastes compute and can actually hurt performance. Beacon frames this around two dimensions. First, mode adaptiveness. Can the model figure out when it actually needs a tool versus when it can just answer directly? That's a capability that's surprisingly easy to overlook when you're building these systems. Second, tool effect. When the model does invoke a tool, is the tool actually helping? Are the results being used effectively? The Beacon system introduces a framework to train and evaluate models on both of these dimensions simultaneously. Rather than just measuring whether the model gets the right answer, they're decomposing the evaluation to understand the quality of the reasoning process itself. What I find compelling here is the framing. A lot of agentic AI work optimizes for raw success rate. Did the agent complete the task? But Beacon argues that efficiency matters too. A model that always reaches for tools is like a developer who runs a full test suite to check if a single variable is null. Technically, it works, but it's not what you want in production. For ML practitioners building multimodal agents, this is a really practical lens. You want your models to be selective about tool use, and Beacon gives you both a training framework and evaluation methodology to optimize for that. Expect this framing to influence how future agentic benchmarks are constructed. Paper 4, Beta OPSD, Deriving with Policy Optimization, Training with Self-Distillation, from Jiawei Xu, Minghui Liu, Zhuzheng Zhang, and collaborators, on Hugging Face Daily. This one's about training reasoning language models, and it connects two big ideas in the space, policy optimization and self-distillation. Let me set the stage. Self-distillation is a technique where a model essentially learns from its own outputs. You generate samples from the current model, use those as training signal, and iterate. It's appealing because you're not relying on a separate teacher model. On policy self-distillation, or OPSD, means you're doing this with freshly generated samples from the current policy, which keeps your training data from going stale. The issue is that vanilla OPSD is brittle. It works sometimes, but getting it to work reliably requires a lot of engineering heroics, careful hyperparameter tuning, stability tricks, the works. The authors ask, why? Their key theoretical insight is elegant. They show that vanilla OPSD is actually exactly the beta equals one special case of a broader policy optimization family, where beta controls the weight on a KL penalty. That's a term that keeps the model from drifting too far from a reference policy. When beta is fixed at one implicitly, you lose a lever that could make training much more stable. So beta OPSD simply makes that beta parameter explicit and controllable. By tuning beta, you can balance how much the model learns from its own fresh samples versus how much it stays anchored to prior behavior. Too low and it drifts chaotically, too high and it doesn't learn anything new. The results show that this seemingly small change going from an implicit fixed beta to an explicit tunable one translates to meaningfully more reliable training of reasoning models. This is the kind of paper where the contribution looks modest on the surface but has real practical impact. If you're working on RLHF, self-improvement loops, or reasoning model training, beta OPSD is worth studying carefully. It's a principled unification that turns an engineering pain point into a clean hyperparameter. And paper 5, Shadow Dancer, Teaching Video World Models Any Action by Learning Unified Dynamics Representations from a Video and Its Shadow, from Jin Cao, Xian Meng, and Kaipeng Zhang, on Hugging Face Daily. This one's wild and I love it. Video world models, models that can generate realistic video conditioned on actions, are having a major moment. The idea is you can simulate how a scene evolves when you take specific actions. Huge implications for robotics, game development, simulation, you name it. The core challenge the authors tackle is what they call the representational obstacle. If you want to control a video world model with actions, how do you represent those actions? There are basically two camps. You can use loose encodings, like natural language descriptions, which are flexible but imprecise. The model has to improvise the details. Or you can use structured signals like optical flow or post-keypates, which are precise but only work for specific action families and are expensive to acquire. Shadow Dancer's insight is that demonstration videos just showing the action you want are actually the most natural representation. A video specifies dynamics frame by frame, precisely, for any kind of action you can film. The problem historically has been disentanglement. How do you separate the action information from the scene appearance so the model can apply the action to a new scene? Their solution is The Shadow, a deliberately simplified, low-information version of the demonstration video that strips away scene-specific appearance and retains only the dynamic structure. Think of it like a shadow cast on a wall. It loses color, texture, identity, but preserves the motion and shape information. By training on paired videos and their shadows, the model learns a unified dynamics representation that's both precise and generalizable across action types. And because you can create shadows algorithmically, the data acquisition problem largely goes away. The practical upshot is huge. You could potentially control a video world model for robotics by just showing it a demonstration. No structured annotation, no domain-specific signal format, just video in, controlled video out. That's a meaningful step toward truly general-purpose simulators for physical AI. Keep your eye on this one. All right, that's five papers in the books. Transformer architecture, benchmark integrity, agentic reasoning, self-distillation training, and video world models. Huge thanks again to our sponsors. Ada for making production AI deployment real with their Glow compiler. Ago Consulting for expert silicon development from AI chips to full SOTU design. And Zen Semiconductor for their silicon portfolio and Ada's production inference platform. If you want more cutting-edge tech coverage, check out our sister show Git News AI or AI Special Report, both great shows in the Ada Podcast Network. Links to all five papers are in the show notes. Go read them. They're worth your time. If you haven't subscribed yet, hit that button. New episodes drop regularly, and we work hard to make sure you're always ahead of the curve. I'm Skylar, and this has been Unzip.